Isn't this a sports show?
The last few days I've worn lobster shorts, purple pants, and today it's jorts and the space hoodie.
Almost entirely.
Fine. Bleep me. I'm a dope. Durf.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
You know, he does it kind of like a dead fish.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
One thing I haven't yet talked about is the fact that Nazis are back.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
Feel free to come in and say, listen, you big stupid idiot. That doesn't make any damn sense.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome in to, I guess, a Red Friday. I feel like we've had such a weird schedule of shows and of games kind of all clumped together that I don't even know if we've had one of these in a while.
It's been a while.
Season. It's been a while. But it's a good time to be here now. We will get you ready for Chiefs and Steelers. We're going to figure out together if the Steelers are primed to keep bleeding or bounce back.
Bleed or bounce back.
And also later on in the show today, we'll probably do this right at 5. At 5:02, set your watches. Beards is going to host the show for a segment as he gives his NBA preview. And I will be running the show.
It might suck.
It's going to suck. The question is, will it be funny? I'm going to ensure that it sucks.
Thank you.
I can't have you jumping me on the depth chart with one good segment. I won't allow that. We have that to look forward to today. Also, most of this hour, though, is going to be very, very chiefy. I have a immediately contradicting myself. I've got this weird cold still. And it's been like 2 weeks or longer, maybe. And I have just like a stack of napkins here in the studio that I just use sparingly throughout the show as I fight through the phlegm. You want to know something else crazy that I just realized? All right.
Go for it.
Here's the weird thing. I just saw Woody Page on Around the Horn.
Uh-huh.
And it reminded me that I had a dream that Woody Page died.
Huh.
Like a few days ago.
Was there any more to this dream, or was it just, oh, Woody Page died?
No,
I'm at his funeral.
It was a... There was like a bombing at some Denver sports event. I completely forgot about this until I saw Woody Page. And I was like, wait a second. I thought he was, oh God, that was a dream. I was out covering some Denver-based sports event. And there was like some sort of terrorist attack or something. And it was found out that Woody Page was one of the casualties. Holy bleep, what a weird dream that I just remembered that I had. Really, I looked up Around the Horn and it was full screen Woody Page. And I kid you not, my first thought was like, wait a second, he's alive? And then the whole dream thing unraveled again. I remember so little of the dream other than Woody Page was a casualty. All right, so Woody Page is alive. I'm sure we're all glad for that. Congrats, Woody Page, on being alive and not being killed in my dream. I wonder how many dreams I've died in. Have you ever thought about that?
How many you've died in?
Yeah, how
like
many
your
other
own or
no,
other people's?
Other people's. How many times have I died in someone else's dreams?
Like as an accident or like they actually are the ones that killed you? Because that is a very important qualifier.
I would like both categories.
Okay.
I would like both categories. I've had friends tell me about dreams that I've died in. But not a lot. And also, I'm not really looking for, I guess, immediate friends, close friends or family. I'm wondering if I've ever, if there's some small-time radio host in Denver who had a dream that I died. I want to know about that guy's dream.
Or like the Woody Page equivalent to Kansas City.
That's a good call. Who is that?
Frank?
That's pretty good.
Frank Bull?
That's pretty good, man. No, that's the right answer. I also think there's a good chance that Frank Bull has dreamed of murdering me, but that's a little bit outside of the spirit of my question, I think. All right, well, as the show was starting today, I was thinking, like, all right, well, today's going to be a pretty normal kind of, like, lackadaisical open to the show. I guess we'll just get into the Chief stuff. And then that happened. So, I guess not. I do want to talk about the Chiefs and Steelers. Do that here in a second. The other thing that I was doing right before the show started is I was cracking open the comment section on Arrowhead Addict because I got a couple of tweets. So yesterday's show, I podcasted and put out into the world, and I also wrote up a little post to go with the show on Arrowhead Addict because we're a bunch of Chiefs fans here at the show. And I got a couple of tweets in response to the headline. And to the tweet that Arrowhead Addict put out, which is that I said, like, in one tweet, and you can guess where the negative responses came from. One tweet said a thing that I said in the article, which is true, that the Chiefs are, or that the AFC is prime for the Chiefs taking. I said that. Got lots of little favorites and retweets. One of the tweets, also something that I said, said, the Chiefs are flawed, but the best team in the AFC. Some of you guys are so damn sensitive. Have you looked at... Tell me, if you take issue... We're going to read a couple of the comments. Tell me, though. If you look at the Chiefs right now, do you see a flawless team? No! Of course not! That's silly. Do they have huge, glaring issues? No, not really. Which is great. But are they a flawless, unbeatable team that's currently 5 weeks into this NFL season that should be considered among the best teams of all time? Well, no. That's all I'm saying. So here's just the first comment. Just the first comment. Flawed. What a load of crap. We do not get to pick who we play. Every team has a GM, head coach, and drafts every year. They're the Browns, sort of lost, wandering in the wastelands. Most teams play each other, parody, remember? Maybe the NFL is so flawed. Maybe the NFL is flawed and should be put to sleep. We're playing with the best team in the NFL. Our record says so. So bring them on, and we can slash should knock them down one team at a time. Flawed, just a cheap shot. Sort of like society today. What do you want from me? Some days I genuinely do not understand what Chiefs fans are looking for.
Perfection!
Or at least the illusion of it, I guess. I didn't... The headline of my story is, the NFL is prime for the Kansas City Chiefs taking. That's the headline. Subhead, the Kansas City Chiefs aren't a great team, but they're the best of a flawed AFC. I don't know how you want me to talk about this team. If I cannot have any concern about this team in any way whatsoever, we can't talk about them, can we?
That post feels like one of those guys that's like the rings conversation.
Yes.
Is all they care about.
Yes.
It's like, oh, no, this guy's better because he won more.
And the Chiefs, who have one more, are also better. And I've said that over and over again. The only thing that I said that wasn't quite that way, which I know this guy did not listen to the whole show yesterday. Like an hour and a half into the show, I think I brought up the Super Bowl line thing and said, yeah, you know what? The 8-8 Patriots coming to the 16-0 Chiefs and Arrowhead in the playoffs would probably be favored. And I wouldn't be mad about it. Okay. I think I'd pick the Chiefs in that game. I think the Chiefs are going to beat the Steelers by 2 touchdowns. I also don't think that they're perfect. What do you want from me? somebody said reasonably enough, I don't know if flawed is the right word. Maybe we just overestimated some teams while underestimating others. I know I did. Partially. That's partially true. But I've gone through the AFC and tried to think, well, where did I over and underestimate? I overestimated the Steelers and Patriots, which is what yesterday's show was all about. And I underestimated the Chiefs in some places. And again, I don't think I made any illogical underestimation, specifically with Alex Smith. He's been a surprise. Fantastic. That counts. I'm counting the surprise. In some instances, every season, for as long as I can remember, you have a couple teams that stand out amongst all the flawed teams in the AFC. This year, so far, it looks like the Chiefs are the most well-rounded out of the bunch. That's what I'm saying. Now, I don't agree with the front end of that, which is that usually the least flawed AFC team wins. No, usually Tom Brady or Ben Roethlisberger or Peyton Manning wins. In fact, every year, except for one, for the last, like, decade. Except for Joe Flacco's year. And there are a ton of comments that I just can't deal with. So we're going to close that now. But it drives me crazy. There was a guy last night during Thursday Night Football game, which is great, by the way. I thought the Panthers would get the edge. The Eagles are better than I thought they were. There's a guy on Twitter that said, all right, I'm saying it. Patriots, Eagles, Super Bowl. Brady and Wentz are the two best quarterbacks in football right now. And I quote tweeted that and said, what do those two quarterbacks both have in common? Hint, they both lost to the Chiefs. And I'm also okay with that, by the way. I know a lot of people get really bent out of shape about, like, ooh, we need our respect. I want national media respect. And I just never really got that. Like, the Royals got national media respect when they went to the World Series and then they won it the next year. Respect. You get it, because it's the coverage of what actually happens. The Chiefs are getting plenty of respect. Chiefs-Steelers is going to be a topic around the horn in a second. I saw the teaser, whatever. It's probably the most interesting game in football this Sunday, I think. I don't know where that insecurity... I do know where that insecurity comes from. It comes from being a fan of an irrelevant team for a huge portion of your life, which has been the case, and no longer is. Don't worry about it. People will catch up. But I think it's totally reasonable to say the Chiefs are the best team in football. They absolutely, by a wide margin, have the best resume in football. As we talked about yesterday, they have a resume that's going to continue to stack up pretty well for them. As Ezekiel Elliott's not going to play when they go to the Cowboys, and Giants are a shell of themselves, and Derek Carr, we're going to see him on Sunday against the Chargers. We're going to see what his back looks like, but we don't really know right now. And then Thursday, it's Chiefs at Raiders, obviously. It's a flawed league, and the Chiefs are the least flawed right now. I just don't think that they're the 08 Patriots. Is that okay? The 08 Patriots who lost, by the way, in the Super Bowl. It's a really weird thing for you to get worked up about.
Didn't Minnesota start off last year 5-0?
That seems very plausible.
And then they missed the playoffs.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. That's 2016 Vikings.
I listened to the broadcast last night. I learned something.
Good job.
Also, it was something I remembered off my head anyway.
Yeah, they did. In fact, they were 5-0 into the bye week. And then they lost four straight, and then won, and then lost two more, and then won, and then lost two more, and then won, and they finished the year at 8-8.
Yeah.
It's a good point to point out, in case you were wondering, 5-0 that's not the end of the year. It's not over yet. Which I don't think most people are saying, but what most people are saying that's frustrating me is, how dare you be critical of this team? And by the way, the Vikings last year had really good wins at Tennessee, Packers at home, at Carolina, Giants at home, Texans at home. Those are pretty good wins. not as good as the Chiefs' 5 wins this year. I mean, the Chiefs' first 5 wins this year are like... Poll question. Do the Chiefs have the best 5 wins to start a season of all time? I don't know. But it's great. Everything so far has been great. I also just don't want to repeat that for 10 hours a week. The Chiefs are great. Everything so far has been great. If we're going to play the Steelers, everything's going to be great. And if we play the Raiders, everything's going to be great. It's not a very good show. It's already not a very good show. All right, caller. Easy. Beat you to it. And I don't in any way say any of this to say that the Chiefs are going to be the 2016 Vikings. I haven't pointed that out fairly enough yet. They're really good, and they've beaten really good teams. There are just some things that I think aren't totally set in stone yet.
And they've all been blowouts, too, for the most part. Wasn't the Eagles game a come-from-behind?
Yeah, they've come from behind pretty frequently.
Oh, yeah, the Patriots game, obviously, was a big come-from-behind.
Well, I think I don't even know. I need to see. I think they trailed everyone except for the Chargers, top of my head. I don't know. Man, this is the stuff, by the way, where I am the most just open for criticism. I remember things poorly, which I know is not a great trait that I have. Earlier, I was recording a segment with Justin, who has the 6 a.m. show here Saturday mornings on ESPN Kansas City, and we were talking about Chief stuff, and he said something like, I just can't forget those 2004 Chiefs. They went on the road and they lost to the Giants. It was a really bad loss that year. And I was just like, excuse me? You remember a loss to the Giants from 13 years ago? What is that steel trap that you have? I can't remember how many games this year the Chiefs have trailed in. I barely remember that they've played 5 games. That's not true. Anyway, that was my defensive open to the show. I just don't think it's insane to say, all right, 5 games into the season, the Chiefs have room to improve. You know who would tell you that? Everyone on the Chiefs. Every single person in that organization. Also, I don't think they trailed to the Chargers. They won that game by 2 touchdowns. Unless they didn't. They didn't trail to the Chargers. The one game that I thought maybe I could pinpoint, no, wrong. By the way, the news of the day, if I can stop being defensive for 2 seconds. The news of the day is that the Chiefs are going to have everybody, all the skill players at least, on Sunday against the Steelers, which is absolutely gigantic. They're going to have Travis Kelce. They're going to have Tyreek Hill. They're going to have Albert Wilson, and they're going to have, most importantly, as importantly as everybody there, and more importantly than Albert Wilson, they're going to have Justin Houston. All those guys showed up on the injury report. None of them are going to have, actually, I don't know about Albert Wilson, but I saw that Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Justin Houston are all expected to not even have an injury designation on Sunday.
Yeah, those are the names I saw. I'll check on Wilson.
It doesn't matter. He's going to play.
We got to at least be, 2% factually correct
Fine.
Some of the time.
Fine. Well, you're factually correct on those 3. I'm just saying that those are the 3 guys that matter. Those 3 guys are supposedly not going to have an injury designation at all on Sunday, which is obviously enormous. That would have made this a whole lot more difficult. But I'm not even trying to, I've been saying what I think is going to happen in this game. I've been saying it all week. I'm not doing any particular sort of, prediction saving. The Steelers are in a place where you're either saying, all right, they're going to go win on the road in Arrowhead and they're going to show the league that they're still for real, or you're in a place where you're saying they're dead, it's over, they're going to explode, they're going to just bleed out in Kansas City. And I think there's a little bit here of a half and half answer. The question they're asking on Around the Horn is, a bigger game for Steelers or Chiefs? It's a bigger game for the Steelers. That's true. Now, the Chiefs do have a chance to go, obviously, not just to go 6-0, but to go to the rest of the league and say, hey, look at this. Look at this thing we just did. Remember what happened in the playoffs last year? Here's a statement. But again, it's a Steelers team right now that's kind of on life support. Here's the thing, though. Here's why I think the Chiefs are going to win by 2 touchdowns. The next Steelers road game, they're at the Lions on Sunday Night Football. 2 weeks from now, they have the Bengals at home before that. Then they have at the Colts week after. I don't know if I'll pick the Steelers on the road at any point the rest of this season. I'm not sure that I will. Over the last couple of years, they've been a dramatically different team on the road. The offense is simply worse. Roethlisberger is simply worse. It's weird, but the stats play that out. With that being said, I don't think the Steelers are completely dead. They're just already dealing with a couple of setbacks. Before you get to the Chiefs at all, they're on the road. Ben Roethlisberger's coming off of his worst game in his football life. The run defense got obliterated by Leonard Fournette last week. Roethlisberger threw, 57 interceptions? Ballpark.
58.
Damn it, I know it was close. The pass defense is number one in the league. But they did it by stopping, let's see. The Browns, Vikings, Bears, Ravens, and Jags. Which translates to, loosely, DeShone Kizer, Sam Bradford, Mike Glennon, Joe Flacco, Blake Bortles.
That's a murderer's row
Murderer's row! Sorry if I have my questions about the Steelers' pass defense. There are several issues here with Pittsburgh that I would point out before we ever get to the Chiefs. By the way, not one of those issues, Antonio Brown. Still good. Don't give a bleep that he's upset on the sidelines. I am not out here to criticize emotional football players. If it hurts your team, I will be upset with you. If it doesn't hurt your team, I will defend you to the death for the right to your emotions. I've done it with Marcus Peters. I've done it with Travis Kelce. I'll do it with Antonio Brown. Whatever. But there are all those factors working against the Steelers. Roethlisberger looks like a different quarterback. They're bad on the road. Todd Haley doesn't seem to know how to use this defense. Le'Veon Bell is getting used strangely. The run defense is not very good. Their pass defense has gone up against terrible quarterbacks. And they're playing the best team in football, at least the best team in the AFC, in the best home field advantage in the AFC. Really in football. That one I can be more confident in it. Against a really, really, it's a really, really good team right now that has advantages that match up really well with the places that the Steelers are struggling. You think that Marcus Peters, Ron Parker, Terrence Mitchell aren't going to combine for a pick or two on Sunday? You think that Kareem Hunt's going to do anything other than run for 100 yards? He scraped up 100 yards last week whenever the Texans' entire game plan was to stop him. The Steelers cannot stop the run. From what I saw from the Steelers, I think they can beat them deep. If only the Chiefs had some weapons there. Oh, they have one of the most explosive deep threats in the league in Tyreek Hill, and they have the best deep threat tight end in football. Pro Football Focus actually had a stat about this, saying that he leads all tight ends, Travis Kelce leads all tight ends in deep receptions this year. The Chiefs' run defense has been much improved, as if Todd Haley even would consider just running up the gut with Le'Veon Bell all day. The Chiefs have a lot of ways they can win this game, and the Steelers have a lot of ways they could lose it. At this point, truly, I would be surprised if the Chiefs don't have absolute control over this game. And this is the most confident I've been, I think, for any game this year, which I know is scary because the thought is, ooh, Steelers could bounce back. Ooh, what about Big Ben? Antonio Brown? Le'Veon Bell? Sorry, man. I haven't seen it. The Steelers on the road this year, they beat the Browns by 3 in week 1. The Browns, who have since benched the quarterback that kept them within 3 points. They lost on the road at the Bears by 6, a team who has since benched their quarterback. They beat the Ravens on the road, which was followed up by a 30-9 loss versus the Jags, a team who should bench their quarterback in Colin Kaepernick. I think Alex Smith is going to crush this team. The Chiefs are going to score 30 points. Minimum. I would be genuinely stunned if the Chiefs don't score 30 this week.
I'll let you have this piece of property all on your own. I'm still having PTSD flashbacks from last year doing the
This is why
doing
I'm an
the post game for that game.
This is why I'm an idiot. Is because, yeah, I'm trying to forget. I've been harping on last year, and also, this game isn't going to intrinsically change my opinion on Alex Smith. What he does every game this year is chip away at the sculpture of him I had in my mind of what he is as a quarterback. The sculpture is him throwing the ball 6 yards on 3rd and 9. That's what the sculpture is of. And every week this year, he's chipped away a little bit of that. He can take a pretty nice chunk out of it here, because I do have those flashbacks to the playoff game last year. They scored 42 against the Patriots. They scored 42 against the Texans. Didn't quite get to 30 in the other three games this year. 27, 24, 29. I think the Chiefs have a better chance of scoring 40 than they have of scoring under 24. They have a better chance of putting up 43 than 23, if that makes any sense. A better chance of their highest scoring game than the lowest. I am not... The Browns and Bears and Jags put up points in this team. The Jaguars did almost exclusively defensively. Even... The only game this year that didn't look good that did look good for the Steelers defense was the Vikings and the Ravens. Both of those were 26-9 games, by the way, which is just kind of bizarre. I think the Chiefs are going to score 30-something in this game. I don't think Ben Roethlisberger is going to throw 5 picks, but I bet he throws 1 or 2. I don't think Le'Veon Bell is going to be invisible, but I think he's going to be beatable. I don't think Antonio Brown's going to be a ghost, but I'm guessing he's not going to look like an MVP. I know it's bizarre. I know it's the Steelers. I know you've got your flashbacks. But I look at this game, and I sit here on a Friday, surely to be proven wrong on a Sunday. But I sit here now on a Friday, being shockingly confident the Chiefs are going to handle their business against the Steelers this weekend.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Excuse me. I'm talent. I'm talent, sir. Unhand me.
With Joshua Briscoe.
They better put me in a damn throne.
On ESPN Kansas City.
At the risk of sounding like I may be in some way critiquing the Chiefs, something I really don't mean to do, God forbid. When I have been looking ahead to this game and thinking, all right, well, what could go wrong? What's the thing that does leave me a little worried? A little concerned, perhaps? I do have one thing.
Chief concern.
Pew, 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 pew. The deep threats have to be here. This is the thing that does concern me the most about the Chiefs in general, about Alex Smith right now, and about Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. As I mentioned earlier, Pro Football Focus pointed out that that Travis Kelce leads all tight ends in deep receptions, and Tyreek Hill is absolutely built for this. This is the place where, along with the ground game, you can really attack the Steelers from what I've seen from this team so far this year. Attack them deep, run the ball constantly, and they're going to run the ball well. I have my confidence in that already. The place that I'm afraid, the place where I'm concerned, is with the frequency of the deep shots. They've got to be going down the sidelines to Tyreek Hill 3 times a game. And genuinely, 3 times a game, where not just the throws, you're like, ah, look at that, he was open 20 yards on the field. No, no. I mean, oh God, the ball's in the air. That's going, oh, he's 40 yards downfield. Ah! And you cover your eyes, and then you just wait to hear what happened. The Chiefs need 3, ah, I can't look, watching through your fingers throws every game. And it can also be to Travis Kelce. But I would like to see 3 to Hill and a 4th to Kelce. I'd like to see 4 of those a game. You know what? If you want to make it 2-2, you can. If DeMarcus Robinson needs one of those every game, by all means. But you have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, who are absolute mismatches. And Kareem Hunt is also a mismatch against any linebacker in football. You have 3 incredible mismatches there, all guys who can streak downfield, find themselves open, and then all of a sudden you're looking at a 60-yard touchdown. I need more of that from this offense. That's the place where I think this offense has the largest place to grow, and I hope they do it.
Chief concern. Pew, 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 pew. Second chief concern. Chief concern. Pew, 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 pew.
Still no Mitch Morse, still no Laurent Duvernay-Tardif at center and guard. It's going to be Zach Fulton at center again for sure. I would expect to see Cam Irving at the right guard spot again. Brian Witzman's held up really well at the left guard spot. Cam Irving played pretty well last week for what I could deduce. However, Parker Anger appears to be back, so maybe you see Parker Anger break into the starting lineup. I would like to see him at left guard, and then you just bring in, you bring back LDT whenever he is ready, and you let Cam Irvin hold that spot out for as long as you can. But it could still be a few more weeks. So you know, that's also something that I guess you could say I'm worried about.
Chief concern.
Pew, 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 pew. And another thing.
Chief concern.
Pew, 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 pew. The Chiefs play another game 4 days after this one. So for all of the injury questions we've had, all the concussion protocol for Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill being a late add to the injury report, Justin Houston being up there, up in the air, Dee Ford's back, these two offensive linemen and their respective injuries, all of the injuries that have come to this team are going to be made incredibly more condensed in these few days after the Steelers game. Someone's going to get hurt against the Steelers. Somebody's not going to play against the Raiders that we're not even talking about right now. Unfortunately, and maybe even most terrifyingly, maybe it's Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill or Justin Houston. So it's another reason that I'm worried about that Thursday game. Something else to keep an eye on this short week. Even the smaller injuries become a huge, huge issue. I don't know if Justin Houston could have played a game this Thursday. I don't know if he could have played a game yesterday. He's going to play Sunday. I don't know if he could have played yesterday. Dee Ford, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce very likely would not have been able to play last night. That's something else to keep an eye on. All right, that's the last time.
Chief concern.
Pew, 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 pew. And another thing. No, no, that's it. We're done. That last one, Beards, was superfluous. That was unnecessary.
I apologize.
Every single one before that was absolutely needed. That last one in particular was just a touch of overkill. A couple interesting stats that I saw come down the line yesterday from Gil Brandt. We somehow just didn't get to yesterday, as if we couldn't make 30 seconds of that 2-hour show fit. According to Gil Brandt, Terrence Mitchell has the 6th best burn percentage in the league this year. I don't really know what a burn percentage is, but his is the 6th best. Also, most quarterback pressures through week five, Justin Houston has 25, good for third best in football. And that's with him dropping back in coverage like half of his snaps, which is absolutely bonkers. As much as I've griped about Bob Sutton dropping Justin Houston in coverage too often, he's still the third most effective pass rusher in football, and I'm guessing his efficiency rating is probably going to knock him up to number one. I can't imagine that a guy who's only rushing half as many snaps as the first or second place guy is not, or I can't imagine that he's not rushing less often than those first or second place guys. But incredibly efficient and effective pass rushing from Justin Houston. That's no shocker. But the Terrence Mitchell thing I thought was fascinating because he's getting a lot of undue criticism. He is a very good number two corner, and I will defend him to the death.
Quick Google search. Burn percentage is a cornerback stat when it's like so they get burned when they're trying to cover somebody.
That... Right. I knew that. I assumed that.
Well, you said you didn't know what it was.
I assumed that.
I know. So then I Google searched it, and we got it corrected. You remember when I said about that whole 2% factually correct thing? This is the second percentage point.
Did you have anything about how burn percentage is calculated?
I can keep reading this article, and then I'll tell you.
Thank you for swooping in with that knowledge of burn percentage is the percentage of times that a cornerback is burned.
I was going to make a marijuana joke, but I couldn't think of a good one in time, so I just went with the actual factual stuff. I should have gone with the joke.
No, I think you made the right call. I think what you did is fine. Have you seen the Barstool Sports? They have like a 1 a.m. show that's going to play, I think, Tuesday nights at ESPN. ESPN gave Barstool like an hour-long block once a week. That fantasy football show is completely bizarre. Right now in front of me on NFL Network, they're in the danger zone. They're giving players nicknames, and one of the analysts is wearing aviator sunglasses. Sports media is getting weirder, but I'm not sure if it's getting better. You know what I mean?
There's a lot of sports media.
Yeah, and so I look at like the fantasy show. The fantasy show that ESPN's doing is so bizarre that I think it actually might be transcending to that level of good. But I look at the weird fantasy shows and the fact that Barstool's getting an ESPN show, and I'm part of me is optimistic about what the future of sports media is, because I'm definitely never gonna be on like sports reporters. I think that show got canceled.
There was an old ESPN show. I can't remember what it was called, but it was like on ESPN2 or whatever. Uh-huh. It was just like two guys sitting around in a couch or whatever, and they were like making jokes about sports and whatnot. I'm trying to remember what that's called. I'm going to try to look real quick. But
yeah,
that was one of those, you know, ahead of its time kind of things.
Right. And so now I'm looking.
I don't think it lasted that long.
I'm guessing it wouldn't have. And now I'm looking at all of these like weird sports programmings, and I'm thinking, part of me is thinking like, oh yeah, good, clear the way, because this is what I want to do. I like this weird sports conversation where we don't take all this stuff so damn seriously. But I also look at some of this and go like, well, this isn't good. making your stardom sit-em segment called The Danger Zone isn't really what I meant. It's interesting. Sports media is an interesting place. I'm really excited for that show with Bomani and Pablo, because I'm hoping that that's where irreverence meets like intellectualism, I guess. People are going to hate that show, but I'm going to love it. I think that's the niche that I'm most
It was called of. Cheap Seats.
That sounds show. Familiar. Yeah. You remember who did it say who
hosted Randy
it?
And Jason's I'm S-K-L-A-R is their last name. I'm
Sklar?
Sklar, yeah, something like that.
No, I feel like the Sklar brothers is a thing also.
Yeah. Yeah, they were brothers, so. It lasted 78 episodes.
That's not bad.
Not terrible. Four seasons.
No, I would take that. That's a pretty good gig.
But, like, kind of just the weird irreverent stuff. Like, I loved Grantland.
Right.
When it was out. It was funny. It was weird. But it also had a bunch of the super, super smart stuff. Like, that's kind of where Zach Lowe came from. And in my opinion, he's the smartest NBA guy that there is.
The Sklar brothers, by the way, are professional comedians.
Right, yeah, they were just
that
comedians.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I knew that ring a bell, but I never saw the show.
Right, and the Grantland thing is interesting. You know, you have the Ringer, which isn't the same, whatever.
Same but different.
Right. I like that, but I also... There's still a lot of fear in sports media. That's why the Barstool thing is really interesting, because they're full on like Stephen Colbert, like the Colbert Report.
Oh, gotcha.
Where it's I don't know if this is a real word or not, but parodical, like it's a parody, in it by genre, like Pro Football Talk PFT commenter on Twitter is that he's a parody of everything on sports Twitter, and it's funny and interesting. It's just funny. It makes me laugh sometimes. But they're also putting them on for 1 hour a week at like 1 a.m. on a Tuesday. So I also...
It's not that dangerous of a time slot.
No, but like it's very much like sticking their toe in the water, ESPN sticking their toe in the water of this weirdness. I mean, I'm very interested to see the evolution of all of it.
It's not quite the Olbermann at 10.
No.
Or whenever that was, which I miss extremely much, by the way.
Can you miss something extremely much?
Quite a bit. I almost said quite a much.
I miss it quite a much. All right, let's take a break. I don't know what we're gonna.
That's a good idea. Let's gather ourselves.
I really like to have either like the end of a good take or the end of a funny joke to go into break with, and then I just gesture at Beards aggressively. But, you know, we're batting like 500.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I also have a tab open on my Chromebook that I just closed. I don't know why. Jurassic Park Builder was open. It makes no sense. I have no idea why that would even be there.
Like building your own Jurassic Park?
Yeah, I think it was like a Facebook
game. Like the Sims game?
It was like a roller coaster
the
tycoon kind of thing. Yeah, I don't even know why that was open. Never even heard of that.
Not gonna look this up.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I mean, it looked like it was a Facebook game.
Yep, Facebook.
That's some good work by us. Nice. That was.
There's a wiki.
On ESPN Kansas City.
So yesterday I went and bought groceries for the first time in literally 2 months. Because what I do now is I buy groceries and then I just eat them basically in inverse order of their expiration date. And then once I'm down to literally just like canned tuna and ramen, things that will live through the apocalypse, I just sort of eat those apocalyptic foods until I go, well, I can't live like this anymore. Like yesterday, and also my housemates, we sort of just agree that like milk and eggs, we just sort of buy whenever we're there and then everybody shares them. Because we don't need to have 4 or 5 different personalized cartons of eggs in the refrigerator. Anyway, we were out of eggs. And I don't want to eat my ramen without an egg. I'm not an animal. I'm just poor. Anyway, I went to Walmart, but I went and got groceries yesterday for the first time in genuinely like 2 months because I was tired of eating ramen. And I got one of these like 1 liter bottles, not 2 liter, and also not like a normal bottle, but a 1 liter bottle of the sparkling water, the Clear American brand of sparkling water, which I find delicious. If they wanted to sponsor this show and then send me cases of their good, good, cheap drinks, I would be a very happy spokesperson, but currently not a sponsor. Hashtag not an ad. Anyway, I got the key lime one, which you may remember early on in the life of this show exploded all over the studio right before a show started, like in the first week or two of the show. And I got one of those, and then I got one called Fiji Apple. And I got it because I figured, oh, this is interesting. I don't really know what like apple flavored water is going to taste like. That's weird. I've been drinking it today. It tastes exactly like an apple. Not like apple candy. Not like that apple flavor that you would expect. Like, here, let me check again. Yeah, it's just like I took a bite out of an apple. But there's no texture, obviously. And it's carbonated.
It's just, it's kind of unsettling. And it feels like we're close to a Wall-E style future. Where we just, like, yes, I would like the tube of mush that tastes like lobster and butter with a side of mashed potato water and then a red velvet cupcake tube flavor of water. And I'm 600 pounds now. I don't know how this works. It's just really bizarre. It tastes exactly like an actual apple, and I didn't expect that. It's good, I guess. It's just weird. It's unsettling. Not gonna lie, Beards, I thought for sure you were gonna jump in with that somewhere. I thought you would have something to add to that conversation. You just don't. That's okay. We'll talk.
We
about
had that conversation before the show.
Yeah, but no one else heard it.
I know.
And I went into greater detail this time. I talked about my shopping habits. I had to buy laundry pods for the first time.
I mean, we could rediscuss what kind of flavored water chips, the best kind of chips, the flavored water would be.
Yeah, what about, yeah. Like, I think some sour cream and onion carbonated water would be interesting. Salt and vinegar, I think, is the sea salt and vinegar.
I love barbecue leader. Chips, but I'm not sure how well that would go with
no. No.
Now, here's the thing. What about, like, kettle-cooked chips where they're crunchier? How do you do that with water?
You freeze it.
Oh, well, that's anticlimactic.
Boom! Nailed it! Brandon Kiley tweeted, Gear Shift. He was quote-tweeting someone asked the question, what do 80% of football fans not know about your team 5 weeks into the season? And Brandon said that the Chiefs have one of the best offensive lines in football, and they're playing without three starters. And that seems reasonable enough. I buy that. Best offensive line in football, or one of the best, gives me some pause, but it sure worked last week. Now, last week was a Texans team without J.J. Watt or Whitney Mercilus. But with that being said, did you hear from Jadeveon Clowney at all last week? I don't remember hearing much from Jadeveon Clowney. And whenever Alex Smith has been scared or pressured or whatever, he started to look like the old Alex Smith a little bit. Which is still my largest overarching fear of this season, is that eventually he gets rattled and then slides back and regresses. But the offensive line's been really good, so I can't really fight that too hard. I can't brawl with Brandon Kiley on that one. I think what I would say, what I would use to answer that question, what do 80% of football teams not know about your team 5.5 weeks into the season? I would say that the Chiefs haven't utilized one of the most dangerous downfield weapons in football yet. I was going to say their best weapon, but I don't know if I can say that because Kareem Hunt and Travis Kelce are here. But they're underutilizing Tyreek Hill. I would say that for sure. I think that's factually true. All right, coming up next, Beards McFly hosts the show for an NBA preview segment. God have mercy on our souls.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.